This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
I hope somebody's holding you. I hope somebody's loving you. It should be me, but I can't get there.
I'm Sue from Lifeboat. And Lifeboat are promoting health and well-being, but you take in charge of your own health and well-being by using tools such as mindfulness, EFT tapping, NLP and Reiki as just a few examples of the tools that we can use. I thought it'd be a great idea to get on the radio and give out some of these tools freely to people, particularly the mindfulness and the meditation tools.
Hope somebody's holding you. Hope somebody's loving you. It should be me, but I can't get there.
Hello. So, a couple of things have happened to me in the last few weeks that I thought I would quite like to talk about. But the word that's been on my mind for most of the last few weeks is the word faith, and a bit of faith and a bit of trust. And thinking about what that actually meant to me, what faith meant to me, I think that generally if I think of that word, I think in the belief of something bigger than yourself, really, you know, whether that's God or whatever, but just whatever resonates with you, but something bigger than yourself. And I thought, how do you make that smaller? So you make that smaller by look at yourself. So there's me, but then I'm part of a family, so that's bigger than me. And then I'm part of a community, and that's bigger than me. And then that community's part of a city, and that's bigger than the community. And then that city is part of a country, and that's bigger than that city. And that country is then bigger than that continent. And then that continent is bigger again, the Earth. If we look at the Earth, that's bigger than that continent. And then even if we think about the universe, and then perhaps what's beyond the universe, that there must be something bigger than that. So just that realisation that there's actually something bigger than you, whatever that sort of means to you. So I thought, first of all, we'd just look at what were the two things that sort of made me think about trust and faith a bit more. And at first, they may not seem too connected to that. But the first thing is, I think I mentioned about the last podcast about my daughter leaving and how difficult that was for me and what I was doing about that. And so I've been to see her in Wellington already, which is rather quick, but I just got the opportunity to go there and do a day's work. And I was actually quite worried about her, a bit more because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in at the moment made me a little bit more nervous for her. So I was really actually pleased to be able to go and spend some time with her. And that was really lovely. You know, we went out, had some dinner together and spent some time with each other. But it kind of just reinforced in me to have that faith in that she will be okay, you know, that she's quite resourceful. And I know that she was really pleased to see me, and it was good for both of us to spend that time together. But I've got to have a bit of faith and a bit of, like, she's going to be okay. And a bit of faith in she's staying with some lovely people. So a bit of faith in the people that are with her, and a bit of faith in the school that she's going to as well, you know. So it's a bit of faith in others and in her, and perhaps somewhat in myself as well, that, you know, I will make the right decisions. And I have done all that I can do for her now and letting her out into the world, really. The other thing that happened to me is my husband's business partner. He went in for a heart operation recently, and unfortunately ended up having a severe allergic reaction, which is called an anaphylaxis. And he ended up in ICU. And for a bit of time there, it was a bit touch and go whether, you know, he was actually going to make it. He is, and he's doing extremely well. And he's actually at home now, which is quite incredible. But, I mean, he's still got some recovery to go. but amazing. And, you know, I think the reason he probably pulled through it so well is he's actually a fairly fit and healthy person. You know, he's been watching what he eats, and he does kind of look after himself. So I really think that was a help to him getting through that. But again, it was a bit of faith in the fact that he would get through that, that everything's going to be okay. And it kind of threw us all into a bit of disarray there for a while, but just calming down and having that bit of faith in whatever happens, it will all turn out okay. And a reminder about that, perhaps that impermanence thing again, that whatever's happening, nothing is permanent. So everything is going to change. So it was a wee bit of a reminder about that. I also managed to get myself some rather fast heartbeats just lately. I've had this issue before when I've had a tachycardia, and I've had some tests, and there's nothing wrong. It just kind of corrects itself. So at first when it started, I started to get into a bit of a panic about it, but then realised, you know what? You know what to do when this happens. So do the things that you know that really work for this, and just sit with that for a while. You know it's going to pass, so do your breathing exercises. Do the exercises that you've been given. And it sort of did settle down a wee bit, and it kind of feels like it's okay now. So, but it was that reminder, a bit of faith in myself and the tools that I've got and what I know what to do already. While I was in Wellington, I actually went to have a look at the protesters as well. Far enough away, I didn't get right in there, only because it was a bit of a worry to me for my daughter being there, because she'd said that she was a bit concerned about that. And like, you read the stories in the media about what it's like, and you see, I come from the UK, and it was sending me back to some times that I can remember. I was in the middle of Handsworth, which is just outside of Birmingham, and there was some particularly bad riots that were there. These were like people smashing windows, grabbing TVs, ram raiding. You know, it was particularly bad, and I had to go through the middle of Handsworth while this was going on. So when I think of riots, it was kind of sending me back there, and protesters. It was sending me back to that. And also, most of my family are from South Wales, and I grew up in a mining community in the centre of England as well. So I was in the middle of the miners' strikes there as well, which were also could be quite scary, and lots of families falling out, and quite a bit of violence involved with that as well. Of course, the Wellington protest was nothing like that, but it was sending me back to that. And so, okay, so I went to have a little look far enough away just to check it out. Thought, okay, this isn't quite what I've been led to believe, or certainly not what I was thinking it would be. So it was a reminder for that for me to be exactly present with where I was rather than being somewhere else in the past. And again, coming back to that faith and trust thing. So I thought an apt song for today, since we are talking about faith, is George Michael and Faith. Enjoy.
Baby, I know.
another thing that I was sort of thinking about, another event during that. It's been quite an eventful few weeks, hasn't it? Anyway, so the other thing was, it was the anniversary of the earthquake. So I was sort of thinking about that, and I was thinking about all the compassion and kindness that went on during that time. It was a terrible thing, you know, it was a really bad thing, but just all the courageous things that people did, that people were pulling people out of buildings, people were helping people. They weren't saying, you know, what religion are you? What do you believe? You know, what do you think about this? People were just helping each other, regardless of anything else. So real big acts of compassion. And maybe that's just what we all need now, including myself too. I'm putting myself in this, you know, bringing that self-compassion in to ourselves and to others. But it has to start with you first. Like, I'm all for passion, don't get me wrong, but let's have some compassion. Let's speak with words of love and compassion rather than words of hate and words of anger, because I think personally that words of compassion and love are so much stronger anyway than words of hate or words of anger. The power and the force behind those words. When I think about people that I admire, you know, like Martin Luther King or people like that, their compassionate speeches, they're just, it just moves you. It moves you far more than a lot of anger or fighting can do. So it's just, how do we do that? How do we get that out there? How do we get our message across but be compassionate? So we have to look within ourselves first. You know, where am I getting angry with myself, or where am I not showing that compassion to myself so that then I'm able to show it to others? Because I'm all for people voicing their opinions. You know, here I am doing a podcast on Plains FM, so my voice is going out there. And I think something like this show is great, you know, Plains FM running shows for people, some minority people get to have a voice and say what they think or feel or bring, you know, bring things out so that people can see what's going on or what's happening for people, or get people to find groups that they can belong to. So voice is important, but just stopping for a while and seeing how we could voice that opinion or voice that idea in a more kinder or compassionate way, and realise that we're not separate. You know, we're going back to this faith thing, that we're all part of something much bigger, that we're all connected somehow, that even if we look at, you know, let's look at somebody like totally on the other end of the scale. So let's maybe look at Putin, you know, like how he's behaving and what he's doing. It's terrible. You know, what he's doing, how he's behaving. But let's just see where that might be in us. You know, see where maybe we start telling people what to do and how they should do it. I know that I do. It's kind of reminded me of like perhaps an unruly teenager, you know, and you're trying to get them to do exactly what you want them to do. And they don't, of course. They do what they feel like doing. But that's what you kind of want them to do anyway, isn't it? To find out their own way in the world. So it is. It's in me. Like, I sometimes will go, I want you to do this or be like this to people. I don't mean to, but we all do it. So it's all that is within us. So I always like to think then, so if that anger and that side of him is in me, then somewhere in him must be some part of me. That's something to think about, isn't it? So that if we could go through life looking for those parts of us that we're not liking in others and trying to be kinder and more gentle to those parts so that we can soothe ourselves through that. So then we're able to soothe others through that and teach others. Because again, like our unruly teenagers, people mainly learn from people's actions rather than people's words. You know, what you actually do rather than sometimes what you're just saying. I always like to think of the, and I can't remember her name, but the coloured lady that got on the bus there in America, and how I would have liked to have been a white person getting on that bus and sitting next to her, not doing anything, not getting in the fight, but just sitting next to her and having a chat to her and saying, hey, my name's Suzanne, what's yours? Shaking her hand, you know?
walking beside people that stand up and do something quietly like that, not fighting, but walking beside them. That's the person that I would like to be, for sure.
Oh, I was thinking about, again, going back to faith, about when I was probably at my lowest point in my life and I was really, really struggling and I couldn't quite find my way out of it. And I thought, I'm just done. You know, I felt like that. Okay, I'm just done. I'm just stuffed. I really just don't want to carry on anymore. And I couldn't think of anything else to do. There didn't seem any way out at this point. I'd spiralled further and further down and couldn't find my way out. And I just decided there's only one thing left for me to do, and that's pray. And I'm not particularly religious, but, you know, I do believe in God and I believe in something bigger than ourselves. I'm quite interested in religion. I love to hear the stories. You know, I'm a storyteller. And most of the stories go like, my favourite are like fairy tales. So most of the stories go like fairy tales, don't they? Like you have a flawed hero who goes through several things to get to the bit that they need to get to and adventures, and then they get there in the end. So they are quite similar. So I'm quite interested in stories to do with religion, but I wouldn't say I was particularly religious, but it just felt like there was nothing else for me to do but just pray. And that's exactly what I did. And I prayed to everything I could possibly think of, my ancestors, God, the divine, anything that I could think of, at the moon, anything at all. I just sat there and prayed. The next morning, there wasn't a fairy godmother or a miracle that happened. But what did happen is there was a shift in me that made me decide that I had to be the person to make these changes. Somehow, I had to find a way through this and have a bit of faith in myself. I'd survived many things already. I could get through this, but bit by bit, and also look for where I was going to need some help. Find that help, and step by step, I could get through this. And I had complete faith in myself at that point. Okay, so I thought what we might do is a nice heart meditation today, just to help us with that bit of faith, I suppose, and a bit of love and compassion for our hearts. So what I'd like you to do is we'll play a bit of music in the background there, but just pop your hands on your heart. Now, I want you to find the centre of your heart. And to find the centre of your heart, you need to go under your armpits and then bring your hand right into the centre there and put the heel of your hand on the centre. Then I would like you to put your other hand over the top there. So just hold your hands there for a few seconds. Make yourself nice and comfortable, preferably sitting down somewhere or lying down. Please don't do this one if you're driving. You probably shouldn't, because now you've taken your hands off the wheel or operating any machinery. So now what I'd like you to do is just relax your jaw, relax your shoulders. Feel your feet on the ground, feel where they are, feel where your bum is touching the seat. Now I'd like you to breathe through your nose and out through your mouth. And as you do that, I'd like you to feel the breath going actually through your heart. So it feels like you're breathing where you're pushing there with your hands. So let's breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Do a couple more. As you breathe in through the nose, maybe think of a nice smell that you like to smell. Maybe it's your favourite perfume, or rose, or coffee, or bread, or bacon. Whatever you can think of that you think, oh, it's such a lovely smell. I want you to smell that as you breathe in through your nose now. In through your nose, out through your mouth. And feel it under your hands there. Feel your chest moving. Okay, you can drop your hands down now. Just drop them down. Now I'd like you to have the feeling that you're still pushing there on your chest, that you're still touching there where you had your hands. I'd like you to imagine there's a bright light there now, like a little candle just burning right where your hands were. And that light, it's getting bigger and bigger. And it's filling up your heart. And it's filling up your whole heart space where your hands were. You got that lovely smell. You're imagining that your hands are still there. You can feel them just pushing on your chest. Each time you get lost in thoughts or lose where you are, just come back to feeling your breath right where your hands were there, and a bright light and a nice smell. Our hearts give and receive blood to all of our body. Send your heart some gratitude and appreciation now. It's our heart and our blood. We don't have to make it beat with our minds or tell it to beat. It just does. The heart and blood is ours. But the oxygen that it pumps around our bodies is not ours. It comes from the earth itself. And what we breathe out and share with each other. So let's give our breathing system some gratitude and appreciation. I thank you, my heart and my breathing system. I thank my heart for opening up to love and compassion. I thank my breath for bringing in that love and compassion and letting go of some of that love and compassion to others. So I hope that you enjoyed that, and I'm hoping that it's opened up your heart to a little bit more love and compassion for everybody, and thinking about the times where we have been loving and compassionate to others. And I say we, because I'm including myself in this too. Thank you for listening today, and I hope you come back and listen to the next one, when I'll be telling you what's been happening in the next few weeks. Thank you. Bye for now. For all your first aid and CPR and wellbeing at work programs and training, please contact facco.nz. That's facto.nz. You can contact them at training@facto.nz or 03 365 3556. The fact is, you can save a life. Home, let me come home. Home is wherever I am.